Good morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to welcome each one of you, visitors. We're glad that you're here today. And family, church, those who have been here for the last few weeks, I am taking a break for one Sunday from our series in the life of Elijah and bringing a little different word this morning. I'm not preaching at Val Vista this morning, and so I want to stay with that series where I'm doing the same thing each week, so I don't want to be 1 week ahead here on that than I am there. So, if you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to talk to you about investing your life. Investing your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now, I believe that the Lord has something for everyone here today. It's not whether you've not walked with the Lord or whether you've walked with the Lord for many, many years, it's what do you open your heart up to today and what is God speaking to you today? And He is able to supernaturally take this word and have something for each one of you if you will open your heart to the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 3, we have several scriptures this morning, but we're going to begin here and then we'll pray. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. Paul is writing here. And he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle. And if you're new to the Word of God, that means a letter. These are letters that we're reading here in the New Testament. Most of them are not literally called books. They are letters. Paul was writing a letter to the Corinthian church here. You, though, he says, talking to the people, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Let us pray. The Father, I know every week I come and I say, Lord, I'm dependent upon You and I need You, and I do it because it's truth. But sometimes more than others, I'm painfully aware of how inadequate I am. And today I come with that painful awareness, Lord God, and yet a great liberating awareness that I can do nothing apart from You, that I have no cleverness, I have no eloquence, there's no power in my word or the things that I speak. But Jesus, You are able to take these words and to broadcast them like seed that's filled with dynamite, that will absolutely blow up those things in our lives that are displeasing to You and those things that are causing us such great, great damage. And You're able to send Your Spirit and to do something supernatural and something so powerful that You radically transform our lives. And I pray for no less than that today, Lord, that everyone within the sound of my voice would hear the Spirit of God speaking to their heart. Lord, that You would anoint the Word, give it power, make it plain and clear, and call each person to a closer walk with You. And for everything that is said and done in this place today, I give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. For it's in the mighty and majestic name, Jesus of Nazareth, that we pray. Amen. Epistles are letters. Epistles are letters. And I said I want to talk to you today about investing your life. Paul says that these are letters speaking of the people, the believers. These are letters not written with ink, but written by the Spirit of the living God. And I want you to begin to insert yourself into that place today for a moment, that you are a letter that's being written. And he says in that same passage of Scripture that it is read. Those letters are being read by all men. So think of your life and the investment of your life today. And remember these words, I will refer back to them occasionally as we go through this word, that you are an epistle, that something is being written. You are developing a history with God, or perhaps a history without God, depending on your situation this morning. From the moment that you were born again until the time that you were glorified, you go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a letter that's being written, and it is the writing of your history with the Lord that is taking place upon this heart, not upon tablets of stone as in the Old Testament, but God writing His Word upon your heart and watching that Word produce change in your life so that you are an epistle that is being read by other people. What is being read when people look at the letter, the epistle of your life, when the Word says that you are read by all men? Again, I'm talking about life as an investment. I'm going to keep repeating that. You know, today we hear a lot about the market. This week has been a terrible week for the stock market. And much fear in the hearts of those who put their trust in those things. And it's a very shaky time to invest. It's a very difficult time to invest. It may be a good time to invest in the housing market. I don't know. I believe that one day, unless the Lord comes first, it may come back up again, but there are no guarantees right now, are there? No guarantees except what is written in the Word of God. And most people feel that shakiness today. They feel this sense of uneasiness and not knowing what is stable and what is not stable. And I speak of those who walk apart from the Word of God, because if you have the Word of God and the life of Christ living within you, there's a stability that takes place within your life. But I want us to look over that that history of our life for a moment. And I want you to turn to John chapter 3. Thank you, Cindy. John chapter 3. The Lord was just getting your attention early this morning, everybody. John chapter 3. Because what I'm going to do is I want to talk about your walk with God, but we have to begin at the beginning. And I don't preach on this often because I'm preaching to the church. And supposedly, everyone in the church, I know that it's not true, but supposedly everyone in the church has experienced what is being written about in John chapter 3. But at times we must lift it up again, because how will people be saved if they don't hear this simple truth that's found in the Word of God that comes straight from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not going to read everything that Cindy read earlier, the beginning of chapter 3. It speaks of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night, coming secretly because he was desiring answers, but he was part of the religious ruling body, and the religious ruling body was standing in opposition to Jesus. But he comes and he asks Jesus, how can you do these signs and wonders if you're not sent from God? We know you're sent from God. And Jesus just goes, he really goes around the question to get to the heart. And he looks at Nicodemus and he says in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, over the years, we grow in our depth of understanding of the Word of God, don't we? And so, years ago, the most basic understanding of this verse for me is, if you're not born again, you won't get into the kingdom of God. You won't be saved. You won't go to heaven. But there's a lot more to the depth of that verse than that, because he is speaking of a spiritual reality that without being born again, you can't even see. Not get into. See. You can't perceive. People get the cart before the horse. They want to be able to see when they're not born again, and they don't understand these Christians that are on fire for God and their lives have been changed. And why is my life such a wreck? But you can't understand it until you first come in faith like a little child and ask the Lord to do a supernatural work in your heart that you would be born again. And by faith, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And then you can see. Then you can understand. Then you can begin to comprehend the things of God, so that you can then grow and find this transformation that the Lord has promised you. And so Jesus says, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. What a slap. A loving slap. But Nicodemus is a religious leader. He's supposed to know these things, Jesus says to him. You don't know these things? He says, unless you see. Nicodemus, you're leading this nation in religious matters, and you can't even see the simplest, most childlike things in the Spirit. And unless you're born again, look at verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there's entrance involved also. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, until you are born again, you are simply material. You're material. But when you're born again, there is something that is born of the Spirit. And I don't want to dwell here this morning because there's more to this message. But understand this, that the new birth is not just a decision that you make. The new birth is not just, well, I get up today and I say, you know what, I think I'm gonna read the Bible and I'm gonna try to do better. That's not the new birth. And that's why so many people miss it, because we have ingrained within our nature this thing that tells us you can reform yourself. And you cannot, beloved, you cannot reform yourself. It is a work of God. And here on one hand is a person whose life is devastated by drugs or alcohol or things that have wrecked their life, and everyone sees that. But over here is a person who's been in church all of their life, never drank, never smoked, never done drugs, and yet their heart can be just as wrecked on the inside, and everyone doesn't see it. They can stand and raise their hands to the Lord, but the condition is the same if there's not a birth that comes from heaven. There has to be a supernatural birth where your heart is changed. Now, I'm not making it some formula where you think, oh, I've got to be on my knees and see a blinding light. No, but there has to be a deep surrendering that you realize that Jesus truly died for your sins and that you cannot. This is the difficult thing for most people. I cannot do it apart from Him. And you come and you give your heart to Him. You give your life to Him. Truly, not just up here, but in here, in the heart. You give your life to Him. Whatever that may cost you. Jesus said, if someone's going to follow me, let them count the cost. Then take up their cross daily and be my disciple. And when that happens, something changes. Something changes on the inside. You won't stay the same. You'll begin to desire the things of God in your life, and you'll begin to grow and to change. And so, talking about this investment of your life, where are you investing your life, and how is your life being spent, and what is the letter that is being written that all men may read that is upon your heart and that is open for everyone to read? We begin with salvation. We begin with simple child life, childlike, coming to Jesus, receiving that free gift. Nothing you can do to earn it. He's already done it all for you. But you must receive it by faith. You must be born again. You must be born again. What can I say? The Bible says that He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, confusion, blindness, and He puts you in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His own dear Son, and He floods you with Himself. What can I say about this great salvation? I can say that it cleanses you. That it cleanses you. That no matter how you've tried to put it out of your mind and out of your heart, you know that your heart is stained. You know that your heart is dirty apart from Christ. You know that the enemy has made tracks and inroads into your life, and that you're in bondage and that you can't do it in your own strength. And He comes and first thing he does, look this way for just a moment. Instantaneously, the moment that you come in faith and you come with that childlike confession and say, you are who you say you are and I yield my life to you, forgive me. And like a mighty rushing wave, He just washes all of the guilt, all of the stain of sin, and you're like a newborn person again. He washes it all away and you've got a clean slate, a clean start. He not only, listen to this, because much of the church world only preaches that part, that you get saved and you're forgiven. Well, what about from now until, if Lord willing, you live 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 more years, whatever it may be? Well, it's not just your ticket to heaven. When He saves you and He washes you, that is called delivering you from the penalty of sin. But he doesn't just deliver you from the penalty of sin. He delivers you from the power of sin. And until Christ comes to live in you, sin has power over you. But he delivers you not only from the penalty of sin, from death and hell. He delivers you into his kingdom. But he delivers you from the power of sin over your life. He transforms you. He transforms you. And every once in a while in the church, every once in a while, we get to see that person that comes in through the back door whose life is in wreck and in ruin and who doesn't just do it for today and say, well, I think I'm going to clean up, but says, Jesus, I am at the end of my rope. I am truly, I have run as far as I can run. I can't do this anymore. And they surrender their life to God and the world sees that new letter written on their heart and no one can argue that it's a changed life. And all those people who say, oh, nobody really changes, their mouths are shut because they see before them a living testimony, a letter, an epistle written by the hand of God, a new life. They may not like everything they see in that new life, but it confronts their own sin. But nevertheless, they can't argue with the fact of a transformed life. And then your life has purpose and meaning. You know, the popular, though misguided, purpose-driven life movement has much truth. It's just all out of order. The cart's before the horse. Because you can read the book and never be invited to truly come in repentance to Christ. But it talks about a purpose-driven life. My friend, you must come to Christ first. And you must let Him clean you. And you must let Him fill you with His Spirit. And you can begin then to ascertain what is the purpose, the divine purpose that He has for your life to show Him glory in this life. And He will begin to teach and to instruct you. And so we go from salvation. And if we follow. Now some people get stunted. And they stay as baby Christians. But that's not the will of God. As the will of God unfolds in your life, as you study the Word of God, as you grow and you pray and you get to know the Lord, your eyes are open to spiritual realities. You begin to discern things that you did not discern before. And you begin to have understanding. And the Lord wants to take you on to spiritual maturity. That's His desire. And this involves a lot of growing, a lot of setbacks. Now, when I say this, I want to put a disclaimer out there. There does not have to be a lot of setbacks. Contrary to what you may have been told about how much, oh, you will sin every day, we are weak and we're frail. But let's be true to the Word of God. You know, from the moment the Apostle Paul, and he was not Superman, he was a man whose heart was as black as anybody else's before the Lord apprehended him. But when that man came to the Lord, there was no turning back. And I've read of other people in modern times, missionaries, different people, that when they came to the Lord, you don't see. I'm not saying they don't struggle with interior attitudes. Everyone struggles in this life with sin. But there is a victorious life. And there is a walk with God. You don't have to fall. But I am preaching to reality this morning to what you and I, what most of us have experienced, is that we come to the Lord and we begin to grow, and there are times of wilderness. There are times that you feel so dry. There are times that you're like, God doesn't hear my prayers. You're still born again. You're still saved. But there are times that you've let your eyes get off of the Lord and your focus is on the world or the things that charm you. And there are setbacks. And there are falls that we sometimes take. There is what sometimes is referred to as backsliding, a true moral failure, a going backwards and falling for a season into sin. But God loves you and His mercy is there and He will receive you. If you're in that place and you have fallen and you're backsliding, all the Bible says for you to do is return to that first love. Return to the Lord today and you can pick up where you left off and you can move forward in the things of God. But I want to be sure that we're clear on this because I'm going to talk about there are some setbacks. But normal Christianity, where do we define normal Christianity? The book of Acts. Normal Christianity is portrayed in the book of Acts, and it is a victorious walk with the Lord. And it is something that you should be seeking and pursuing and pressing into day after day in your life so that you may be more and more like Christ. And so we go through growth, we grow through setbacks, backsliding. Most people are not like the Apostle Paul. And there are times they can say, I really blew it back there for a while, but God had His hand upon me and He has picked me up. The psalmist David says that the Lord picked me up out of a miry clay, out of a pit. How many of you have been there as a believer that you were in a miry, that means a muddy, sticky pit, and God picked you back up? You didn't do it on your own. You don't do anything truly on your own. But God picked you up and you returned and you got back on track with the Lord. Oftentimes it's because of lack of understanding and teaching that we don't understand the deeper things of God. We don't understand how to fight temptation. We don't understand. There are many believers that think that they cannot overcome temptation in this life, that temptation is too powerful. But the Word of God says, I've made a way of escape. I've always made a way of escape. And we are able to do great things, to be overcomers as God empowers us to be victorious over temptation. And we don't understand warfare. Many people don't understand that there is, look at me for a moment, there is an outright war. And I know that of which I speak. I don't preach to you except that which I have experienced and known from the Word of God. And when you have eyes to see, when you've come and you've heard those words that Nicodemus heard, and your eyes are open and you see spiritual realities, because you have been born literally from above by the Spirit of God. It is not an easy road, and I won't paint that as an easy road for you. There are great attacks that come from Satan in order to seek to destroy your walk with God. Because, my friend, the more you grow in the things of God, and the more your epistle is read by all men that it is true, and that it reflects Christ, the more powerfully the enemy of your soul will come against you to destroy what God has done in you. You need to have your eyes open. You need to understand there is outright warfare that has been declared against your soul. It is not an accident. Beloved, it's not an accident that in your family there are those who oppose you in the things of God, that you're trying to serve God, and there are those that just kick and scream and fight you all the way. It is told to us in the Word of God that the gospel will bring that division, because light and darkness can't abide together. It's like a storm front. And so you're seeking to serve the Lord, and you must understand, how many times have I been through battles and I didn't think? I just was too dense to stop long enough to think. The Word of God says we aren't wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not that person. There is an outright war, and we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. We don't always understand the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't understand the power that is available in us because Christ lives in us by His Spirit. We don't understand that He has given us everything that we need, the Word says, to live in godliness in this life. We are still carnal, still captivated by the things of the world. The letter that he's writing, you ever started to write a letter and you get two sentences written and you ball it up and you throw it away, and start writing another letter and you have to ball it up and throw it away? God doesn't throw you away. But how many times has your letter been thrown away? Because the Lord doesn't want anyone to read that. You understand? The Lord does not want His people being read as unfaithful, as succumbing to the enemy and to temptation. Can I stress this to you this morning? It is important. It is of utmost importance to the Lord what your letter is that people are reading, what your testimony is, what they see of your life. And we're often polluted by preaching in this age that falls short, that simply says, you know, you're just going to do what you're going to do, just all roads lead to God. We have periods of failure. But my friends, in spite of failure, God is faithful. He is always faithful. And He is at work producing something. He's producing something in your life as your life is an investment. What do I mean by that? I mean that you're investing your life one place or another. You may, and there's nothing wrong with this, you may be investing in some type of earthly investment. You may be investing your money in a 401k. That can be wisdom. You may be investing in various things, but I want you to understand that's all for this life. But the investment that counts the most is, where are you investing your life in Christ? What is the investment? What are you pouring your life into? Is it the things of this world? Or is it an investment that is going to count for all of eternity? And make no mistake about it, beloved, whether it's this afternoon or whether it's 50 years from now, we will stand before the throne of God. And we will give an account for the investment that we have made in our life. Often during these times that we are falling and we're backsliding and we're going through all of these things, often we are painfully aware that we fall short. Remember, now I'm talking about the believer who has come and been cleansed, but now is just not exactly on the road. The target's over here, but you're walking over here. And after a while, and sometimes it takes a while, sometimes it takes a while for you to realize just how much you've missed. What you had when you came to the Lord, the joy, the liberty, the freedom from the power of sin over your life, and because you overcame some outward manifestations of sin, you didn't realize that the enemy was making inroads into your heart and putting your eyes on things other than the things of God. Maybe even good things in this life, that your eyes are fixed upon it and you're no longer fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a time that we begin to hunger. As believers, there may be a season when you don't. There'll be a season, if you're in this place, there may be a season when you're like, eh, and you let your heart become kind of calloused, and you're not seeking the things of God, and actually for a season you may think that you're pretty content right where you are. But let enough storms come, and let enough time go by, and you begin to miss your first love, and you begin to miss what you have with the Lord, and there comes a time that there's a hunger that rises up inside of you, and there's a thirst. There used to be what the Bible calls the oil of the Spirit that just oiled all the machinery, and it just felt right. And now it's like you're dry and you're rusty and you're without the Lord. And we begin to hunger. We begin to long for that glorious release and freedom that we had when we first came to the Lord and were saved. And we suspect that there's more. It's at this point when it should have been at salvation. Now listen closely to me. It's at this point when it should have been at salvation that many people lay hold of the understanding of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is an experience. There's what some call the baptism. The Bible speaks of being baptized in the Spirit of the Lord. There is a new surrender where the Spirit of God truly fills you. It's not because He didn't want to do it when you were born again. It's that you let your heart and your life be so filled with self and other things. Your soul area, your mind, your will, and emotions have been filled with things of this world and your own cares. And the Bible says that that chokes out the things of the Spirit of God. And so we come and we experience a new fullness in the Lord. But beloved, the last half of my message deals with something just slightly different. There is no fullness. This isn't a happy statement for us as believers, but the Lord would have it to be, but our flesh doesn't like it. There's no fullness. There's no power. There's no anointing that prevents warfare. There's no fullness. There's no speaking in tongues enough. There's no 10 hours of prayer. There's no power of God on your life that means, even if that's there, that means that you're exempt now from the attacks of the enemy. In fact, it invites further attacks of the enemy, the more you press in to the Lord, and new disguised attacks of the enemy coming when you think that you have gotten victory on this side, he comes at you from a different side in a different way, which you did not expect. And so there are warfare attacks. There are trials. There are testings in the Christian life. And all the while, we're building a history with God. Now I said I'm going in a little different direction, and I'm going to talk about this investment. And for those of you, there may be someone in here today that you are right on the verge of going back. Someone in this place may be just about ready to take 10 steps backward and be knocked off their feet by a wave sent by the enemy of their soul and spend 5 or 10 years out there away from the very presence of Christ. We're building a history of an investment that we've made. And while we may have fallen, His mercy is there to pick us up again. But there is an investment being made. And every time we come through another trial, how many of you, raise your hand if you've come through some trials. You've been battered and bruised a little bit, but you're still standing. Okay, you've come through those trials. There's a point we're going to talk about in a minute that I pray you cross today. I won't ask you to raise your hand on this one. Do not raise your hand. But how many of you know in your heart that you've come through some trials, but you're probably going to fall again this week? And by fall, I don't mean a little stumbling or forgetting to pray, or you slipped and said a little, some, not this little, but some gossip, but you went to the Lord and you asked for forgiveness. We all have daily struggles where we fight against the things that are ingrained in our soul. What I'm talking about is walking out without ever consciously maybe saying that that's what you're doing. But I'm talking about spending time now. You fall and you're back trapped in some sin that God brought you out of in the past, or it's a recurring cycle and you keep going back to these things, or you keep falling away and walking in darkness and you're not walking in the light of Christ. Every time you come through another test or trial and you make it, notice that I said, and you make it. Now, I'm not talking, I have to make all this crystal clear. I'm not talking about a person who's not been born again, pulling themselves back up by their bootstraps and doing okay for a while, falling again. I'm talking about you who have been saved. You know that you've given your heart to Christ, but you keep going backwards. You keep falling backwards. Or you keep, maybe you're walking with the Lord and you're not backsliding, but you keep getting blasted by the enemy, but you're still standing. There's something that you have invested there. And beloved, I want you to hear this, because this is going to be like the heartbeat now of the rest. There comes a time in your life that's, for the believer, a place of no return. I believe this. Some don't find it, but I'm saying you should today. There comes a time, some of you are going to know this in your heart, that God's speaking to you today. I know that. There comes a time when backsliding must end. Not should, could, perhaps, but it must. It must. It must because of the investment. It must because of the letter that everybody's reading. It must because God has entrusted you perhaps with more. It must because people are watching you. It must because next time you might die, you might be destroyed. It must. There comes a time, I'm so serious, there comes a time it must end that you cross this line. And this is what happens, I believe, in some people's lives. Is, let's use the example of someone who's caught in some sin that's a bondage. And it's really a hard thing. You know, and they come and they come to the Lord and they walk in victory for a little while, and then they're knocked back down and they're back out in the world for a while, trapped in that same sin again. And then they come. Now this is, I'm talking about someone who truly wants the Lord, and so they come back. And they serve God for a while, and then boom, they're caught off guard. The enemy pulls them back out in the world, and they're in the same sin again, but they get up and maybe this time they go a little bit longer serving the Lord because their heart is truly to do the will of God. There will come a time, the more you invest in your walk with Christ, and the more it, look at me because there's two costs, the more it costs you to follow Him and you invest in following Him, and the more destructive the cost is of falling backwards, there comes a time, and I believe that God must have this ordained for somebody today, there comes a time when it's like, I'm not going back, devil. I've invested too much, too long, too many times. It's not worth it anymore. It's not worth the destruction. It's not worth the pain. It's not worth the loss. I've got too much invested on the other side. And I'm going all the way with the Lord. This time I'm not going back because I have more invested. I have more invested in Christ than I do in the world now. And my history is being written. Your history, remember these words. God, if you're a believer, He's writing an epistle. And it's on the soft clay of your heart. And it is being read by all men. A living epistle is being written by the Holy Spirit. And to turn back, listen, beloved, to turn back this time would mean too great a loss. I think this is probably, this is one of those moments. I preach truth every week. And I believe I hear from God and that I preach what God wants me to preach. But there are those moments when I know that someone's life may depend today. Or your testimony may depend on it today. Your future in the Lord depends on it today. That there is a serious, serious word. You cannot fall again. I'm not saying you can't struggle a little bit today and tomorrow and the rest of your life because growth is a struggle. You can't go back to those places you've been. You can't go back to those sins that held you in bondage. This time you may not come out. This time it may be seen by all the world. It may be read by everyone. And your testimony will be so damaged that it could take years to get it back. Can you look honestly at your temptation today and say you're not worth the price that I have to pay? I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 26. Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 26. Verse 27, just jumping in the middle of a story. We're not going to read the story. This is before David died. It says in verse 27, some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. Some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. We'll see a principle that's all through the Word of God. You're not only investing in Christ, but in His kingdom. And where there are battles, I'll probably name one or two, but they're all the way through the Word of God. Where there are battles and there are victories, there are spoils. Does everybody know what spoils are? Loot. The victor gets the prize, don't they? The victor takes something from the ones who have been conquered. One of David's last acts before he died was, you know, the Lord had told him that his son would build the temple, so, and there were things laid up for the building of that temple. But David took some of the spoils of warfare and he set up a treasury. not for the building of the temple, but to maintain it. You may say, what does that have to do with what you're preaching about? The spoils of battle were to be invested in keeping the house of the Lord. The spoils of battle were to be invested in maintaining the house of the Lord. Those spoils came through much suffering and warfare. Some of you have been through some battles. When you come through the battle in victory, you may not realize it, but there are some spoils. Old Testament battles represent spiritual battles that we go through. New Testament says that you, corporately but also individually, and I'm talking to you individually, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you're the house of God. How many of you know God wants to keep His house? He wants to maintain His house. He doesn't want it in shambles. You know, when the enemies of God looked over the hill and they saw the temple in Jerusalem, it was a magnificent testimony. And God did not want that temple to be in shambles. If the temple was in shambles, it brought shame to His name. And He doesn't want your life in shambles. He wants to maintain the temple. David took the spoils of battle and he put them in a treasury for the maintaining of the temple of the Lord. We don't have time to go through all the scriptures, but you'll find this spoils all the way through, beginning with Melchizedek. Remember, he received the tithe of the spoils of warfare from Abraham when Abraham went to battle to get Lot back. God doesn't waste your battles. God doesn't waste your battles. The result of your trials and your warfare is that God puts more resources in your hand for keeping you. Turn with me to Romans 5. Now, there are a lot of resources, there are a lot of spoils of battle that we could talk about that we don't have time. I'm not going to, but I want you to look at Romans 5. I just want you to understand the concept that when God has invested in you and you have invested your life in Christ, and when He has written a lengthy letter on your heart and you go through some battles and some trials, look at me, it's not that you're just victorious. You don't just come through standing. You come through with something. Amen. There are spoils for every battle that you go through. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. I can't honestly tell you that I'm at the place where during the tribulation, I glory in it. I know it's in the Word of God. And do I desire that? Yes, I do. I desire that I could not put on a front with you and say it, but I could truly say in this trial, I'm just rejoicing in my struggles and my trials. I'm not there. I can say after the trials that I can look back and be grateful for the spoils, for what God did in me through the trial. But I'm not there where I glory in it. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance. Perseverance produces character. There's a train of thought here. When you go through battles, you are not just to come through having withstood and been victorious, but God is putting the spoils of battle into your life, the resources for the next battle. And I can tell you that that one word, character, which isn't even taught hardly today. It used to be taught in our public schools. What is your character? Character is what you are when nobody's looking. What you are when it's nothing but you in the sight of God. And then how that manifests when others are looking and you're faced with temptations and trials. And your character is such that you won't compromise and you won't be bent. And you won't join in the things of this world, but you will follow and you will stand for the Lord even in the face of great difficulties. Character is a spoil of warfare. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Look at verse 37 though. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I want you to underline that little word more. I'm telling you there's more than just being a conqueror. There's more than just being victorious. There's an investment and there are spoils of war. There are things that God does in you when you come through victorious. That's why He says we're more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we're plunder takers. We take from the enemy and we stand. What the enemy means for destruction, God can turn into resources for you. More than conquerors. Perhaps you're being tempted today to turn back, to fall in the battle, to give up. Are you going to throw away the investment? I bet that if I gave you a certificate saying that I'm transferring to you 10,000 shares of stock in Coca-Cola, you wouldn't throw that away this afternoon. How much more important that you don't throw away the investment of your life, the letter that He's writing, making you an epistle. So I would ask you today, you've sacrificed so much. You've been entrusted with much. You have spoils to show for your battles. Will you throw it all away? Just let that question ring in your ears. Let it be the Spirit of God asking you, searching your heart. I'm by faith going to say, no, you're not. No, you're not. You've come too far. You've come too far. You've invested too much. Too much has been written in your life, your epistle. More than conquerors. You can look back and you can see what was gained. You have a history and an investment. Remember those four lepers in the gate when Samaria was locked in a deadly famine? And those four went over to the enemy camp and God caused a great noise before they got there of battle, and the enemy ran and they forsook their camp. Those four lepers. It's one of the funniest, if you have a Gary Larson sense of humor, it's one of the funniest scenes in all of the Bible. These pitiful, emaciated lepers stumbling into the enemy's camp because they can't go into the town because they're unclean, they're lepers, and they know they're going to be killed, so let's just go over to the enemy side. And they get there only to find out the enemy's already been destroyed. And all of the spoils are left. The food from dinner is sitting there, and they just began to go through grabbing all the plunder and pigging out. And then they remember those that are shut up in the city without anything. And it's a picture of us. Remember Esther? She got the house of Haman, and all of the Israelites had great joy. There were spoils from her victory. Would you consider today that all of this for you is preparation? That as I talked about salvation, and I talked about turbulent falling and temptation and stumbling, and then I talk about battles and standing and being victorious and letting that letter be written in your heart, that sometime in this life, it's going to be time for you to stop receiving. Not that you'll ever stop. Let me rephrase that. For you to stop only receiving. That God is building, in that letter, He's putting wisdom within you. He's putting resources within you that you would pour out to other people. There's a stage of your life when God wants to take you and pour you out because there's been a faithful building of His Word and His history within you. Where are you in this story? What is it that God needs to do? Let's stand. I just want to close today with this song because it doesn't matter which stage you're in, these words still apply. So there's an invitation. If you've not truly been born again, come forward because Jesus said that if we're ashamed of Him before men, He'll be ashamed of us before the Father in heaven. If you love Him enough or you desire Him enough to be want to be born again, no pride, no fear of people watching. No one's watching you. Everybody's eyes should be on the Lord. If you need to come find that new life in Christ, come today. Or maybe you're at a place where you just need prayer to grow, to move into that next area that God has for your life. Whatever the need is today, respond in faith. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Same verse. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your people. God, teach us, Lord, to stand but to grow. Lord, help us to keep pressing in and pursuing what You have for us. Let us not settle, Lord God, and Lord, let us not deny the investment that we have made and the investment that You've made in us. Oh, my prayer, Lord, is that the people of Faith Harvest, that their epistles which are read by all men, would glorify You. No taintedness, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I pray that You plant this seed deep, Lord God, and bring forth a harvest in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.